All right, everybody. My name is Suzanne. Welcome to this workshop, September 30th, 2018, Sponsorship During Challenging Times. And I am the facilitator for this workshop. For those of you who'd like to, please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity
to accept
the things I cannot change.
Courage to change
the things I think
I can,
and wisdom to know the difference.
Thy
will, not mine, be done.
Amen. Please, everybody, mute yourself. Star 6. And please mute yourself with star 6 and not mute on your phone, so there's no confusion. Also, this workshop is being recorded. So today we have 7 speakers. And this workshop came from an idea of the Special Needs Committee of World Service. And the Special Needs Committee is in the process of formatting a workshop for just special needs. And we did a workshop at the convention. We talked about adaptive equipment and the like. We'll talk a little bit about that here. But in reality, this workshop will include that, but it's also about challenging times, whether it is a death in the family, a medical emergency, caring for someone else, losing your job, whatever it may be. We all go through a challenging time at one time or another, and this workshop, hopefully, I'm fairly certain, will help us with our sponsors or our sponsees. If we're sponsors, it'll help us, and if we're sponsees, whatever the case may be, sponsorship during challenging times. Our workshop committee voted that at this workshop, we will not be leaving our phone numbers until after the recording is stopped. I'm going to go ahead and leave my number in case anybody is listening to this once it's recorded and would like more information about adaptive equipment. I'll leave it once now and then at the end of the workshop. I'm Suzanne E., and I'm, at least for right this second, I am the chairperson of the Special Needs Committee for World Service. If anybody has any questions about adaptive equipment or accessibility issues, my number is 818-208-9171, 818-208-9171 in Pacific Time. So as I said, the rest of the speakers will not be leaving their phone numbers until after the recording has stopped. Also, this committee voted to answer any questions after everyone has shared. So the questions and answers will be after all the speakers have spoken. And as always, we ask you, if you are listening to this workshop live or recorded, please send in a donation. Face-to-face workshops usually ask for a donation of $15 per workshop. Please help support your intergroup and send in a donation. If you go to cahow.org, go to meetings, and go to Foambridge, at the bottom of the Foambridge page, you'll find information on how to send in a check or PayPal payment in support of this workshop. Please don't forget. And having said all that, I now give you our first speaker, Leanne, and our timekeeper today is Ginger. You have 15 minutes, Leanne. Oh, and I also like to say we're going to quickly qualify how long we've been in program and what type of sponsors we are. After the recording has stopped, if there are any available sponsors on the line, please stay on and announce yourself as available once the recording has stopped. Ginger and Leanne, please work out your time.
Ginger, would you give me a 5 and a 1, please?
You betcha.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone will be muted, including myself. Thank you, Leanne.
And thank you. And I just say, God, give me the words that need to be said today, that it may help at least one other person who's listening. I am Leanne. I'm a compulsive eater. I came into these rooms on May Day of 91. I have 27 and a half years of working this program to the best of my ability and abstinence. I have chosen to speak on how I sponsored today. It isn't necessarily how other people sponsor, and it isn't necessarily the only way or the right way. But I've, through the years, come to believe the way I sponsor is the way I have been taught and the way I believe. And you people have taught me how to do these things. I go to the big book, and on page 96 it says, he often says that if he had continued to work with his sponsees, he might have deprived others who have since recovered of their chance. It also says in the big book that love and tolerance of others is our code. So, through the years, I have changed the way I sponsor. Through the years, I do not discriminate. I have never let anyone go. If someone wants to leave my sponsorship, that's okay. But they will never be able to say, I let them go. Because I'm not the judge. I cannot say how they are sponsored is the reason that they left, didn't feel welcome, and were kicked out. And I've heard that from so many, many people. I believe that in our rooms, a lot of the meetings say we all need to be loved and accepted, not because we're abstinent, not because we're at goal weight, but just for who we are. If someone has the desire and I have the room, I will do my best to help them. But I must remember always that my program comes first. And I cannot take something from my program and force it on another person. That's not how it works. I only give them experience, strength, and hope. I give them patience, tolerance, and love. We can discuss things. I ask them to bring their issues. I don't care what their issues are, whether it's cognitive, physical, emotional. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't say I have to have a special sponsor because I'm a diabetic, or I have to have a special sponsor because I can't read. I have sponsored people that call me with many disabilities, physical, emotional, and it doesn't matter because my higher power, which I call God, will always give me the direction I need if I ask. So I'm not saying I sponsor like everyone. I think there's 2-3 different ways, basically, of sponsoring. I used to be a different type of sponsor than I am today. But today I really honestly feel that I have helped more people by giving them the patience, love, and tolerance than trying to cram my program down their throat. So today I work on it. Today I learn from it, because if I don't have an answer, I will find it. I will get the answer I need to help the sponsee that I'm working with. And I encourage my sponsee. I don't say they're wrong. They're just doing it different. Their higher power is giving them the guidance that they need to help another person. And as long as I realize that, and as long as I stay in that mode, I can be of service to them. And if they don't do it the way I did it, it doesn't make it wrong. It means it's just different. And that gives me the time to have the patience and the understanding and be willing and open to learn. There's a term out there that people say they get fired. Well, you know, I don't like the term fired because I don't have the power to fire anyone. I have the power to help them if they want help. And if they don't, they're welcome to go elsewhere. And I'm more than willing to work with them. And I have. As far as other issues, death, yes, I have worked with people that are dying. I have been at bedsides of sponsees who are dying. And I've been the last person some people see before they go. I had a mother who died, and we were both in this program, and she had moved out here. And when she died, I said I lost a roommate, a best friend, a confidant, a mother. I lost many, many things when my mother died. And you know, she, in hospice, I stayed the whole day, and when I was ready to leave about 4 o'clock, they said the process had started. And I said, you know, we have said everything we need to say. I don't want to interfere with her passing. And I want her to be peaceful and calm. And please call me if anything happens in the night. I'll be back in the morning. And they did. They called me. I thanked them for calling me. I told them what I wanted them to do. And they abided by my wishes. And the next morning I went in. And she had become a mother and a grandmother to many, many people in the program. And one of them met me there because it was his grandmother that raised him. And he felt like that was his grandmother. And he cried and cried and cried on my shoulder. And I gave him comfort. And where was I at 9 o'clock that morning? I was in my live meeting. And they said, what are you doing here? I said, it's my meeting. I have to go to my meeting. They said, but your mother died. What's the difference? I can't do anything for my mother. She's gone. I can be in these rooms and get my support. You know, of course I miss my mother. I loved my mother. But that's where I needed to be because I'm still living today. So I live today and I move forward. As far as cognitive and physical, I have sponsored them. I do sponsor them. If you want to talk about a cognitive problem, I've got one. Because I don't always understand things. But I have a sponsor that guides me, and she helps me. She doesn't give me the answer, but she guides me, and she helps me. We've become the best of friends. I have been so blessed to have this sponsor. And everyone that has a sponsor probably feels the same as I do, but mine's very special. When I came into the rooms, I had all the excuses in the world, and I do believe today that we're all looking for excuses why this program can't be done. And every excuse I had, she had a solution. And today I look back, and I think what a wise woman she was. What a wise woman, because I could have left, because I couldn't do it. I didn't have the time to do it. I was too rushed. I had so much to do. But she didn't buy that story. And today, I'm probably busier than I've ever been in my life. And I'm a lot older. I'm probably older than most people in these rooms. Do you know something? I've never forgotten what I learned. And what I am learning. And I'm looking forward to learning more. I don't think there's any right or wrong way to do things in this program. I think it's a learning curve. And when we know better, we get to do better. So with that being said, I just want to say, other people are going to be talking about specific issues. And I know that they are going to be able to give a lot of wisdom and a lot of hope and a lot of strength. But I would just ask that you consider and think about the way you're sponsoring or the way you would like to be sponsored or the way you would like to learn to sponsor.
Leanne, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Ginger. So think about that because we all need to be open to learn and to grow. And it doesn't matter where we learn it, how we learn it. As long as we're learning, as long as we are open to learn and to grow and to feel. You know, I had all the answers when I came in these rooms. I couldn't wait to get my 30 days so I could tell everybody how to do it. And I am so grateful so, so grateful for those that had patience with me during those days, because I've often shared the longer I stayed, the sicker I got, and the sicker I got, the longer I have to stay. I'm here for the long haul. I'm here, as my mother said, until I die, God willing. And you know, she was loved, and she always said the same thing I'm saying today, and the group of live people in the area showed up, and there were about 9 of them, and they had a meeting in her room at hospice the morning that she died, and she was aware and sat up and hugged everybody. She never said a word, and after that, she was never coherent again. She lived her program till she died. If I get that opportunity, I hope that I can be as gracious as she was. We don't need your input. Thank you. Sorry about that. Today, I'm 180 degrees different than when I came in. I expect to be changing and growing on a daily basis. You people helped me to do that. And I would just like to end with this. This is from the Big Book. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. That is my goal today, to be of maximum service to my God and the people about me. Thank you for letting me share, and I will pass to the next person.
Thank you, Leanne. Our next speaker will be Michelle. Michelle?
Okay, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay, Ginger, can I have a 3-minute warning, please?
Okay.
Just 3-minute warning, thank you. My name is Michelle, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm a bulimic. And just to give you the stats, I came into regular OA in 1979, so, you know, it's really young, and I've been abstinent in how since, funny, February, 7 years, it's 7 years, 7 months. I came in at 152 is when the last time I weighed, so I'm sure it was 152. And my weight goes between 132 and a half and 135. Food inventory step and maintenance. So, I'm going to talk about different disabilities that I've had and how I was able to keep on track with my sponsees no matter what. I remember I couldn't use my arm for 8 months. So the only way, I couldn't hold the phone, and I was sponsoring like 7 people at the time. So I got this thing that hooks to the landline, and then it rests on my shoulder. So I would have to lay on the floor when it was time for my sponsee's call, and then rest it on my shoulder. But, you know, to me, there's never a reason to stop working my program, and that's how I teach sponsees to stay on track as well. We always work it out. You know, I always let people know when I start sponsoring them. I don't have a 9-to-5 job, so if that doesn't work for them, then, you know, there's going to be somebody that's going to work for them. I work in production, so we have it worked out, you know, with a call time, because it's really important for whoever I'm sponsoring, sponsoring to stay on track, and that my job shouldn't interfere with one's program, because I know I need regularity, not the prune juice kind, but I need regularity with my, you know, call time. And I wish I was able to see you guys, because maybe some of you are laughing, but so, you know, she has a time, and the days that I'm working, we just connect. She gets the call at her time, and then I, well, you know, we try to connect later. You know, we have different times on the weekend, you know, because everyone deserves a life, you know, and if things come up, you know, we let each other know that we need to switch the time. And we're respectful to each other because, you know, to me, you know, that's the bottom line. And so let's see. When I was diagnosed, two and a half years ago with breast cancer, and I was going to have this major surgery, I remember telling my sponsor, there's no way that I'm going to be able to stay abstinent. And it's not that I wanted to eat. I didn't want to eat. It's just that I couldn't lift things. I couldn't move my arm, and I couldn't figure out how I was going to get carry dishes. And so I sort of like baby-proofed my house with everything was out all over at arm level, and I bought plastic dishes. And I was telling a friend of mine who from this program who moved to Oregon, and she said, I will come and stay with you for 2 weeks. And she came, and basically I couldn't even lift the, you know, I could just couldn't even lift the sheet. And she just totally took care of me. And, you know, because if I put it out there, there's going to be somebody that's going to help or that's had that situation before. You know, and now, you know, there was a total stranger that I met, you know, at the cancer support community, never seen her before, and she was telling me she was having this surgery, which is the same exact surgery. Who's going with you to the doctor tomorrow? No one. Who's taking your notes? No one. I said, my name is Michelle. I will go with you. And it ended up that I found out she was in the program. But I'm able to be of service, you know, in the program and outside of the program because I get to stay abstinent with your help. And I get to help other people, too. It's not for me just to be of service on the room, in the rooms, and then go home and be mean to my family. My family used to consist of, you know, a husband who became an ex-husband who is now deceased, and now my family consists of my two cats. So I treat them like humans. You know, I cook for them sometimes. I have to weigh and measure one's food because he's, you know, really fat. And he breaks into bags and eats them and sneaks. And, you know, it's just, and the other one's like more anorexic. And I just think about how I always attract my situation. So on a daily basis, I work this program. You know, I work in challenging job with lots and lots and lots of food everywhere and lots of craft service, you know, and I put my name on my containers and I, you know, ask if I can have a place in the refrigerator or, you know, I just totally take care of myself. You know, here's another challenging one, a couple of concussions. And, I'm a challenge with two legs, basically. Couple of concussions, which has been, you know, my latest one, which is over 2 months, which is a lot better. So I get to stay abstinent. I had to sleep a lot. And when I got on the phone bridge, you know, I'd have to keep it to whenever I started getting a really bad headache, I'd have to hang up. But it's not an excuse for me not to work my program. So, you know, I still show up. You know, I lead my meetings, and if for some reason, you know, like I couldn't get on because my head I would get someone to fill in. I just don't not show up. So I'm accountable to myself and accountable to my sponsees. I've also have, IBS, gastritis, a lot of stuff. So, I have a list of foods that I, even though they're on the food plan, I can't eat. And, I've worked with other people that they can't eat everything on the food plan. So, because I have to take care of my health, I have to take care of myself. I don't eat things that are not on the food plan. I just can't eat everything that's on the food plan. And I also know that because I'm full of shit, liar, a cheater, and a sneak, someone came back to the program that I had known for a long time, and we were going to try to work together, and she said, went to the doctor, and my doctor said I could only eat, it was white flour, and it was something that's, not on the food plan at all, and they said I could only eat this. So it came up in conversation, what kind of doctor? Nutritionist. And then I said, and what's the reason? She says, because I'll lose weight faster. It had nothing to do with a medical issue. So I said, well, maybe someone else will work with you with that, but, that's not, to me, that's just like engaging the disease. So I'm honest, and, sometimes I'm abrasive, but I work my program. I don't color outside the lines. Now, with the food plan, I'm honest with my sponsor. When I say I'm human and I'm not perfect, all of a sudden I'll look and go, oh my God, the time I missed my call time, or I just like spaced out, or my battery died, or, things happen. I'm working, I couldn't call. But I don't work with, with messing around with the food plan, and I'm respectful. And, I work this program to the best of my ability, but that doesn't mean I work the food plan to the best of my ability. I work the food plan, so when I say I'm abstinent 7 years and 7 months, that's the food plan. When I say, it's like wear the program like a loose garment. Sometimes that's the rest of the tools, that I'm not perfect. I try to work all the tools all the time, but, I'm human, and, So, another thing, I would suffer from depression, right? So I also, I'm somebody that has to force themselves to do other things, and I know how to do that. Force myself out of the house, force myself to answer the phone, force myself sometimes to make outreach calls, but I know that I'll instantly feel better and the depression will go away. So, I know what to do. Am I...
Michelle, 3 minutes?
Three minutes. 3 minutes?
Yes.
Ginger? Okay, thank you. So, I'm food inventory step and maintenance. I sponsor somebody. I have a sponsor. I usually, just sponsor one person at a time when I'm on a job, because, it's hard and it's not fair. And when I'm not, I can work with more people. So I don't know if I've made any sense. I guess the bottom line is, as I stay abstinent, I have a sponsor, I sponsor. I know what it's like to work with cancer, food issues, allergies, depression. You know, the show goes on, because I know that even though my head says, oh, you know, I could just keep eating that, I know I don't want to go back to hell, which is nonstop eating, stomach out looking like I'm 9 months pregnant, can't breathe, can't get up, and pass out behind a moving vehicle and have to check into a hotel because I can't make it home once I start eating sugar. So I know that I'm truly grateful, and I'm grateful and blessed that I was asked, or no, I was either asked or I volunteered, and I'm grateful Suzanne's my sponsor, and I've tried to let her go over a whole handful, and for some reason she doesn't let me, because I go, I think you're judging me. And she goes, I'm breathing. I heard you breathe. What does that mean? You know, so, you know, I don't think this is working. Click, you know, and, you know, I'm sorry, you know. So basically, I'm just truly grateful for Suzanne. And we're also really good friends. And I was blessed to carry her dress down the aisle. And, thank you very much, and I will pass the baton to the next person. And I hope I made sense. I'm sitting in my car, the window's open, looking at flowers. Thank you, and have a great abstinence day.
Thank you, Michelle. I was laughing my head off. Okay, next person up to share is Marcia D. from Seattle. Marcia, are you ready?
Hi. Ginger, go ahead and give me a 5 and a 1.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ginger, for your service. Really appreciate it. Yes, this is Marcia D. from Seattle, Washington. It's Pacific time. I will qualify it. I've been working in the HAL program for 21 years, and my abstinent day is July 21st of 2012. I have 6 years of back-to-back. I have surrendered approximately 200 pounds. I've kept that off approximately 10 years, I think. And I'm really a grateful, recovering, compulsive eater. I'm gonna touch on four things. Medical abstinence, mental illness, weight loss, and handicapped. I am a diabetic, and I am sponsored. I have a wonderful sponsor. And I am a diabetic. And so when I tell my story or share, there's things that I touch on. One is that I am a diabetic. And I work with a dietitian who works with people who are working the HAL food plan or in some other program. So she's very well aware of my food plan. And it was a time when I had what's called a metabolic adjustment. At this point, and for quite a long time, I eat 3 meals a day with nothing in between. I do have something called a medical override that during the night, if my blood sugar drops, I'm allowed to have a protein and a fruit. But the majority of I sponsor 6 people at this time. I have one at 8:15 in the morning after I speak to my sponsor. I have one at 8:40. I have one at 1 o'clock. I have one at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 10 o'clock. And they're all okay. So people call me because they are also diabetic. I've worked with people who are hyperglycemic, who have celiac disease, who have irritable bowel syndrome, many different, there's no one food plan. I do encourage them to work with a dietitian, and if they are working with a dietitian, I don't interfere with the food plan. I do work closely with my response me. I asked her to please send me her food plan so I can see what her portions are and what her exchanges are and when she has them. And I also am, I have a mental illness, and I am bipolar, and it can be very challenging. And I have had sponsees who are bipolar. I have one that I'm working with now. So I have people who are diabetic who I'm working with, and also someone who is also bipolar. And it is challenging to be bipolar. There are times when I don't sleep, and I have anxiety, and there's other times where I feel depressed. But the really great thing about being a sponsor is that it keeps me structure. I need a structure. I'm available to my sponsors. I pick up when they call. I even give them all a special ring so I know that they're calling, whether it's inside their time, or if they need to speak to me at a different time. I know that they're calling, and I pick up. And we've gone through, a majority of them are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I do have one that's in their 30s. She's a young mother with a 2-year-old, so that can be challenging, too, for her and for me. Sometimes she can't call at a certain time because she's, doing mother things. And so we arrange for a different time. I do mostly talk to my sponsees every day. And they are, three of them are finishing up their steps. One of them has finished their steps and is working on their traditions. One's in doing maintenance questions. And one is doing the first 30 days. Another thing that has attracted people to me and I work with is people who have over 100 pounds to lose. And working with them and also encourage them to work with a dietitian. And I like the fact that they are working with a dietitian that they're eating healthy and they're eating the amounts that they need to eat. I try to focus on, we don't focus on the abstinent days. We don't focus on the food plan, and we don't focus on the weight loss. We focus on working the tools. And, of course, that, they stay abstinent by staying on their food plan. But there's challenging times, and not only am I dealing with anxiety and depression, I have sponsees who also. And I share my Strength Open experience. I tell people, when I first sponsored them, that I am a loving and nurturing sponsor, but I can't sponsor you differently than when I have been sponsored. I work the tools to the best of my ability, and I call my sponsor every day to the best of my ability, and I talk to my sponsee. I try to keep our calls to 15 minutes, no more than 15 minutes. Sometimes it is challenging for me because sometimes I end up talking too much and I have to bring myself back to just being a listener and not a participator so much and not taking up their time. I love sponsoring. I used to be terrified of sponsoring, think I was a terrible, terrible sponsor. But I'm not the end all to be all. I have a sponsor who, when I'm feeling challenged, I want her to listen to my big, huge drama. And she just keeps saying to me, okay, Marcia, what does the big book say? And I'm like, I don't want to know what the big book says. I want to talk about this. I'm upset about this. And she's like, okay, but what does the big book say? And I'm like, well, can't you just listen to me for a minute? And so, all of a sudden it's quiet. And I'm like, are you still there? And she goes, yeah, I'm listening, Marcia, but what does the big book say? And she has taught me that I believe that the solutions are in the AA literature. And my job as a sponsor is to bring my Strength Open experience to them. And I will, I will tell them, well, what does the big book say? What does the AA book, 12 and 12 say? And bring it around to, that it's you know, that the solutions are there, you know, that we can look at the solution. We can find the solution. We don't have to stay in the problem. You know, there's the saying in programming, you know, when you concentrate on the problem gets bigger, but when you concentrate on the solution gets bigger. And I truly, truly believe that. And I believe that there's nothing that I can go through that's going to make food any better for me. And I'm a diabetic, and I know that I weighed almost 400 pounds, and I was almost dead from diabetes, and I know that I could go back in a heartbeat. And when a food calls to me, and that's not very often, it's usually I feel like I'm emotionally or spiritually disconnected, and I have to go sit down and say, why are you thinking about this food? Is this food, what will this food do for me, but what will this food do to me? And by the time, and then I do service, and by the time I think about all the people that I need to call to tell them, you know what, I lost my abstinence, you know, the six people I'm sponsoring, you know, the work that I do on the phone bridge, you know, by the time I think about all the people I have to call, you know, my sponsor and all of that and give up service that, you know, I've been doing, you know, the moment passes. And so, you know, I tell people, well, I'm hold on, I'm hanging out, I'm hanging in, and I'm holding on. And there's times where you just have to hold on, you know. It's like when the anxiety and I don't sleep, I have to just keep working my program and being available to do service, whether it's with my sponsors or the service I do on the phone bridge. So maybe I will go take a nap after I talk to, you know, to one of my sponsors until the next phone call. You know, so sometimes I can't even do things, you know, around the house. I just need to go and try to sleep. But it doesn't stop me from being a sponsor, and it doesn't stop me from wanting to be a good sponsor. And it doesn't stop me from helping them, you know, be the best person they can be, you know. There's no mistake that God has called us to the program. Any person who's in this program, there's no mistakes with God. We are here for a reason. One of the things that I did learn was that sponsors and sponsors.
Marcia, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you so much, Ginger. I heard that. One thing that I've learned is sponsors are in our life, and sponsors are in our life for a reason and a season. And sometimes they move on. Sometimes we need to move on to a different sponsor. I've been very fortunate. In CHOW. I came back into the room to CHOW in 2011. I was working the other HOW program for many, many years. And I was very fortunate to have a sponsor approximately 5 years, and now I have her sponsor for the last two, going on 3 years. Maybe it is already 3 years. And I've just been really blessed. There was a time where I kept thinking I'm in the wrong program, I'm doing the wrong food plan, I've got, you know, the wrong sponsor. And I did a lot of changes back then before I came to CHOW. One of the things that I love about CHOW is that it's CHOW is CHOW is CHOW, and it doesn't change. We work the tools to the best of our ability, and the program doesn't change. The literature doesn't change. It, you know, it's just has kept me steadfast. And it has increased my spiritual life. There was a time where I was afraid to do anything. I didn't want to do anything that was going to make me afraid, because I found, you know, realized that if I'm afraid of something, something that bad might happen. So, you know, I used to live in fear all the time and not willing to, you know, like Herbert Spencer says, you know, contempt prior to investigation. I didn't want to investigate anything. I didn't want to change. I felt fearful, felt that I was going to fail. What I didn't know, you know, wouldn't hurt me, but what hurt me, you know, what I didn't know hurt me very deeply. Today, I've learned to do things afraid, and, you know, I tell my sponsors that, you know, this is frightening, but you can do it. I believe in you, and you're going to make it. You just hold on. You know, hold on to your abstinence. There's no food out there that's going to make this situation better. You know, lean into your higher power, you know, trust and have faith and courage. Those things that I've learned in this program. I've learned to have faith. Faith that this process works. Faith that there's no circumstances out there that I have to eat over. courage to work my program, the courage to realize there are things that I can change, courage to know what I can change and what I can't change, courage to know what, you know, I can change, and courage to know what I have to accept. And I am just, I'm really grateful to have the structure of this program. I'm really grateful to be of service. I'm grateful for my sponsor. I'm grateful for the phone bridge. And I'm really grateful that, you know, there's no reason that we need to be alone. There is support, you know, out there. It's just a prayer and a phone call away. There's so many people out there that have gone through what I've gone through. I recently had to have surgery on my neck and have a disc replaced. And I found out, you know, two other people had had the same surgery. And they were, you know, they were helping me to understand what was going to happen and how they recovered. And so I know that there's help out there. I just have to reach out and tell them that I have a need, that will you listen? I need to talk about this. And when I pick up the phone and when I make phone calls, I can tell people what's going on with me. I know that there's enough people in this program who understand me pretty well and can even tell by the tone of my voice. Or how
1 minute,
Marcia.
1 minute.
Thank you so much, Ginger. How I am feeling. And, if you're new to the program, the answers will come, and just stay true to the program and do the tools. You'll never be sorry. This program is really amazing. With that, I'll pass, and we'll be giving our phone numbers at the end. And thank you so much, Suzanne, for the opportunity to share my strength hope experience.
Thank you, Marcia. Our next speaker is Jan. Jan, are you there?
I am here, Suzanne. Thank you.
Jan from Arizona, please work out your time with Ginger.
Okay, Ginger, thanks for your service. Could you give me a 10-minute, well, tell me what I have, 5 minutes left and then 1 minute, please.
You betcha, sweetie.
Thank you. Oh, wow, this has been awesome. I am in awesome company, both with all those who are sharing and those who are there listening. I'm home. I've been in program and abstinent through the grace of God for 14 years, 2 months, and 9 days. And it has been quite a journey for me. I'm maintaining an 85-pound weight release, and I am a full-service sponsor. I'm currently sponsoring 5 people. I've sponsored as many as 7 at one time, which got to be a bit too much for me. The 5 that I have are all just happen to be on maintenance, but it isn't without its challenges, because I do my program one day at a time, and I know that I only have today's abstinence. I have a whole lot of abstinence behind me, but today I only have until midnight when it begins tomorrow, but it really doesn't count until I wake up tomorrow morning. On that, I just have, I deal with each issue on a daily basis. As far as special needs, I'm going to qualify. I'm 75 years old, and everyone that meets me says, you don't look it, and that's only through proper eating, taking care of myself. I don't do everything I'm supposed to do. Don't ask me to exercise. It's not going to happen, because that is not me. I try and try, and it just doesn't happen, never has. But I am willing to do all of the tools in this program. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to stay abstinent. I have a plan. I came into the program because I've never been exposed to 12-step. And someone invited me to a meeting where she does a food plan and she goes to meetings. And I said, I'll be there. And I was. My first meeting, 2 days later, I was abstinent. And she was my sponsor, my first sponsor. And, you know, we worked together for a couple of years, and that was a blessing. You know, I was one who, I was still quite the controller, but she worked with me in a way, she was very gentle with me to help me, guide me along. And unfortunately, she couldn't continue as my sponsor, and so I had temporary sponsor for a while. And then I found my second sponsor, who had to be on medical abstinence. And that was about the time that I discovered that I needed medical abstinence. I was working full-time, and I would go to work, and I'd eat my breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning. And by 10 o'clock, my blood sugar had bottomed out. And so I worked with my doctor, and he diagnosed me with hypoglycemia. And I worked with a dietitian, and we worked out a food plan. And this new sponsor was also on medical abstinence, and so she was able to guide me very, very nicely through that. And what we did was we followed the guidelines in the Forever Abstinent book. My food stayed the same as it was. We just made different arrangements of when I would eat what. And it worked. It kept me, I was eating three meals with two supplements, but the supplements were taken from the content of the other two of my meals. And so it was balanced, and I did well. And I'm still on medical abstinence for hypoglycemia, but over the years, because of body changes and sponsor changes and just probably the aging process, my hypoglycemia is not as acute as it used to be. And I'm able to do three meals a day with one metabolic before bed. And that is just perfect for me now at this age. I 14 years is a long time for me. On paper, I'm a retired nurse, and I keep I do things a little compulsively, obsessively. I keep a written history that I can just hand to a new doctor, and I say, this is on paper. And if you read it, I look like the Walking Dead because I've had so many things. And I currently have things. I have acute things that come up every so often, and I have chronic things that I deal with on a daily basis. But fortunately, those are under control. I have rheumatoid arthritis, which is in remission. For that, I'm totally grateful, but I take my medicine. I do what my doctor tells me. Just like in the program, I'm abstinent because I do what the Forever Abstinent tells me, and I do what my sponsor tells me. And some of my acute issues, which I've managed to stay abstinent through them all, some acute intestinal issues back in the 90s, long before I was in the program, which resulted in abdominal problems where I have intermittent abdominal bowel obstructions. And so I've been in the hospital 3 or 4 times for that. This is in program. I have had several other surgeries, one being preface to this was I felt that the rheumatoid arthritis was active because I was losing the use of my hands, and I was having constant pain in my hands. I was losing my balance. I was tired, just total fatigue. I was still working at this time and didn't, no, I apologize. That's erroneous. But I didn't know that it was just age because I was already in my 70s. And I thought, you know, I don't feel old, but, I mean, I don't look old, but I sure feel like age is just catching up with me. And then one day I tripped and fell and got, I thought I tripped on the sidewalk. But I learned later that God stuck his foot and tripped me so that I would fall. Flat on my face so that I would need a CAT scan of my head. And they found a brain tumor. And I'm like, wow. And it was like, because of this program, I found my higher power. And he and I worked together. I found him because I was abstinent, but he's there to keep me abstinent. And I have gained through all of everything that I go through, I have, it reinforces my belief and my reliance on my higher power. And I'm going to read just a short excerpt from, it says, as he sees it, page 293. It's just a little piece of this. It's from a letter that Bill wrote in the Grapevine, June 1958. A man who persists in prayer finds himself in possession of great gifts. When he has to deal with hard circumstances, he finds he can face them. He can accept himself and the world around him. And I found that, and it's like, it so fits what I feel. Because from the moment I fell, I felt like, you know, and I got that diagnosis, I was like, wow, God was taking care of me. It just occurred to me right then and there. He was, my higher power was taking care of me. And I have my program to thank for that awareness.
And, Jan, 5 minutes.
Thank you so much. So I was able to go through brain surgery, to be in hospital intensive care for 5 days. And never have 1 ounce of fear. And the reason that I stress this is because this carries over into my sponsor, into my being sponsored and my sponsoring. Like I said, I have 5 sponsees, and what I have to share with them is an incredible arsenal of experience, strength, and hope. To be able to say, okay, this is what worked for me, this is what I found, and continuing to sponsor, I get to share so much of what I discovered, and my issues with my physical conditions, with my surgeries, with my acute and chronic conditions, helps me fine-tune the program to share that with my sponsees. Whenever I end up, like I said, I've been in the hospital 4 or 5 times in these 5 years, or these 14 years, and I've had other surgeries, outpatient surgeries, where I've been incapacitated to some degree. But I work with my sponsees. If it's an acute, sudden problem, I call my sponsor. I text or have someone text my sponsees, hey, you know, we need, can you please find a temporary sponsor for a couple of days and until you hear from me. And when the brain tumor thing came up, I knew I would be incapacitated for at least a week. And, you know, this worked. My sponsees each had someone lined up, and they were very understanding and accepting, which allows me to, you know, I learned from them you know, hey, so this is pretty cool. These folks still want to come back. And the, you know, God's work in my life, helping me get along with each of the stumbling blocks that I have, each of the hurdles that I have to get over. And then my sponsees also, when they have hurdles that they have to get over, it allows me to be more understanding of them, to be more accepting, and to work with them. But I always work within the parameters of the program. In the past, I have had sponsees who wanted to do things their way. They wanted to do it on their terms. And I have to gently, you know, say, I'm sorry that this, the way that I sponsor is this. You know, I'm not as staunch and strict. You know, I've learned to accept and adapt in every area of my life, except any disabilities I may have, any people in my life that seem to be a hurdle that I have to get over. I've learned to accept, and I adapt to it if I can. I take care of myself first, but then I can take care of others with God's guidance. And so I am at a point now where I have a pretty, not regimented, but a set schedule in the mornings. I have accepted the fact that I have a sponsee who lives clear across the continent. And so I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to talk to her. And
one
I
minute.
Found that's... Thank, 1 minute. Thank you, Ginger. Thank you. I found that that's wonderful for me once I started doing it, because then I have quiet time in the morning. I love the mornings. I love the dawn, the sun coming up. And so, you know, I adapt, and everybody works with me, and I work with my sponsor. She doesn't do medical abstinence, but she accepts mine, and she accepts my physician's guidance. And so, because I have the program to guide me in sponsoring others. And we just make it work, whatever works for both of us, all of us. And on that, I will pass. I want to thank all of you for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. And for those of you who are sharing, thank you so much. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. And our next speaker is Loretta. Loretta, are you there?
Yes, here I am. Thank you, Sue.
Please work your time out with Ginger.
Oh, so sorry. I was supposed to do this for the whole time. You say it almost every time. Sorry about that. Ginger, how about if you give me, please, a five-minute, and a one-minute.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Thanks very much. Thanks for your service, Ginger and Susan. Okay. Guess I was so eager there to start. It was suggested to me that what I might want to share on is to qualify my time and program, my weight loss or gain, my abstinent date, and then to talk about what difficulties I've had, how I've dealt with them, what has worked for me, how do I handle time management. So I'll do my best because I've got notes here and they go all over the place. I have been in food recovery, 12-step food recovery without a break since either 1980 or 1981. I can never remember which year it is. I came into our mother program because that's all there was at the time, and I lived out west in a small town, and we had one abstinent person when I came in, and I thought the program was strange, but what I did hear was people who talked about things that I had done with food were talking about them very openly and sometimes crying and saying, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other. I went, oh boy, I guess I'm home. Because I would never have told people that I, you know, ate out of dumpsters and, hid food and stole food and did all that kind of good stuff. But there was people talking about it. So it took me about 7 months to realize I was in the right place. And I did get a food plan at that time. We had Dignity Choice food plans. So I got on a food plan. I did fine for about a year and a half, and then I lost too much weight, and there was nobody that could tell me how to maintain my body weight. Nobody could tell me how to do that, and so I was terrified that I was going to gain that weight back and that it was going to trigger the compulsion again. So I became a compulsive exerciser and increased my food to compensate for the exercise, but not quite enough. So I ended up in a treatment center, and that was a nightmare. For about 9 months, I was in and out of different treatment centers. And back in 1984, I came back to the little town I lived in, and I found a couple of sponsors in a different 12-step program who took me through the big book and said to me, if you want to get well, you need to do what's in the first 164 pages of this book. There was no See How It's Time. There was no Forever Abstinent booklet at the time. I came up with a food plan with a dietitian, and I stuck to it for about 3.5 years. And someone came along in my life who said that I really had a lot of physical problems, which of course I did. I started to get sick back in 1986. Did not know what was wrong with me. But I had low energy and couldn't work full steam like I was working. I often felt like I had the flu, so on and so forth. And it wasn't being diagnosed. He said, here, you need to be on this food plan. And a little flash went through my brain saying, this looks like a setup for an anorexic. And it went right out of my brain again. I said, okay, I'll do this. And sure enough, I set myself up for being under-eating and underweight and eventually binging. So it took some time until I was able to get abstinent again and stay abstinent. I moved to California because I needed to find some doctors who knew about my illness. I kept coming to our mother program, and I would say, you know, I would get very upset because people were not weighing, measuring their food. They would talk about all kinds of things. They would sit there in the meetings and eat. They would talk about their psychologist. And somebody said to me in a very nasty voice, why don't you go? Maybe you should go to Hal. Really, very nasty. And I said, you know, maybe I should. So I started going to OA Hal. I lasted a year. And then a year or two, I had abstinence in that program. And then slowly, OA Hal changed to See Hal. I was down in Southern California, and I just went with the change. So I've been with See Hal since 1996. At this time, I have 8 years and 2 months of a recommitted back-to-back abstinence. I have a weight loss. Of over 50 pounds, and that was from my mother program when I first came in. And then I got into a lot of trouble because I got sick, very, very, very sick again in 1997. And I couldn't get up out of bed and make food for myself. I couldn't find enough friends to be able to do that for me. And I became allergic to almost everything I put in my mouth. So currently I've got about a 40-pound weight gain from my lowest weight at that time. It was not pretty. I was in and out of hospitals. Some doctors agreed that I had chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia.
Five minutes.
5 minutes remaining, or was that 5 minutes
that's
of talk?
I think that's our first 5 minutes.
Thanks, Ginger. Thank you very much. So I have been diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, chronic constipation, irritable bowel syndrome. So my digestive system has been a mess. It took me a long time to be able to start feeding myself regularly, but I kept doing it. I kept working with a sponsor on the phone. I had to change sponsors quite often because my sponsors would relapse. I wasn't able to make face-to-face meetings. Living in Southern California and not being able to make face-to-face meetings was very frustrating for me, but I was almost homebound and bedbound the whole time. 2006, I discovered the phone bridge meetings. Finally, somebody had the phone number, and I started coming to them. And I started coming very gradually. I would stay on for the first 15 minutes, get off for half an hour and rest, and get on for the next last 15 minutes. And somebody told me that I wanted to do service from my little bed there. And they said, well, you know, if you are the speaker seeker, you don't have to have any abstinence. And you can call people all over the country, and you can get people to speak at our meetings. And I thought, I'll do it. So that was my first service position and see how. And it worked for me. And gradually over time, I went to more and more meetings. I was able to stand a little longer. But I couldn't read and write very well. I was having a lot of trouble with reading and writing. I had to have other people write checks up for me, my rent checks and stuff. So I discovered that if I would talk my questions, my first 30 questions, into a little tape recorder, a little tape player I had, and then talk my answer into that same tape recorder and then let my sponsor listen to it over the phone on a daily basis, I got through the first 30 questions, and that was how I did that. About 2007, I was working with an alternative medicine physician, and he was very good. And I got to the point where I could suddenly, you know, get out of bed more than just 4 hours a day. I was able to get out of bed a lot. I was able to start making better meals for myself. And I was able to start reading and writing. And by that time, it was time for me to do my inventory. And I loved it. I loved it. I would go downstairs. I use a wheelchair. I use a rollator, and I use a cane to ambulate around because I still have a lot of weakness and have a lot of trouble breathing if I don't do those things. And I also use a hospital bed to help with my breathing. Those things have been very helpful to me. But I stay very connected to my phone bridge meetings. But I did do my inventory. I went through four sponsors doing it because people kept relapsing, and one of them just fired me. He just thought I was too nuts, and I kind of was nuts at the time. I was taking a medical nutritional supplement that had some forms of sugar in it that are on our food plan that we don't do. And my sponsors were okay with it at the time, but I wasn't. And I recommitted my abstinence as of 2010, July 23rd, because that's when I stopped taking that stuff. And I was able to start living off of the food on the food plan, although I was eating four meals a day, because I could not put that much food into my body, three meals a day. It wouldn't go. So I had four meals a day. I did it with a dietitian. I did it with my doctor, and I did it with my sponsor. And my sponsor was also on a medical food plan, so that was very helpful. I sponsor in this program, but I sponsor one person at a time because I can't give a sponsee what they need. If I try to take on three and four, I can't do it. My energy is very limited. And recently here, I decided that I did not want to get in that kitchen four times a day and make meals. It was exhausting. So I've gone down to the three meals a day, which was very difficult at first. But I'm very happy with doing that because I get to go to bed at a reasonable hour at night and get up early in the morning for the 5:30 a.m. phone bridge meeting, which I love. It's part of my routine. Let's see. What else? My doctor situation, I have a lot of doctors here. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, so I go to the Cleveland Clinic a lot. But none of them know anything about this illness particularly. They just know about, when I get symptoms, they treat my symptoms. And so I am trying to find a specialist that's going to have to be out of state. And that's frustrating to me sometimes, and I have to trust that my higher power is going to help me with that. Could not do anything that I'm doing now. I would not be blessed with abstinence, but not for the grace of my higher power. And I start my morning off with gratitudes, and I start my morning off with page 86 through 88 in the big book every morning, except when my brain is too exhausted to do that, and I can't concentrate, and I can't focus. And then
Loretta,
I just have to go back to sleep.
You have 5 minutes left.
Thanks, Ginger. But I would be, you know, remiss if I didn't say that it's a higher power that has pulled me through this recovery time. Some very, very patient, loving, and caring sponsors, some very committed sponsors, and the phone bridge meetings, and I work the seven tools every day. Now, there have been times, days, where I could not, again, read, and I could not concentrate, and I couldn't write, and my little tape recorder broke. So I have talked to my sponsor about this, and I said, I can read, but I can't write, and I can't focus and concentrate. I said, I will try to do two questions tomorrow. She's been very acquiescent about that. But it doesn't happen every day, thank God. And I was blessed and able to actually do a lot of service in this fellowship, as much as I can, not as much as other people do, but as much as I can. Up to the point where I was a delegate for 3 or 4 years, I don't remember which it was, for the World Service Business Conference. It was very, very rewarding. It was also very, very exhausting, and I wasn't able to keep up with it. I would go back to my room after the conference was over and just sleep for 2 days. I didn't even make it for most of the convention. So I gave that up to people who were better able and more physically healthy than I, and I think people are doing a great job, and I'm glad I gave it up. And so what I do is I live my life on a daily, sometimes an hourly basis. My abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception, as are working these 7 tools, and within the first 164 pages of the big book. And I pray, and I pray. And a lot of times now I have to go contrary to what other people think that I should do, and I have to listen to my body very, very, very closely. Never had to listen to my body like that before. I used to push and jam through all kinds of athletic endeavors because that's what you were supposed to do. You're supposed to ignore your body and just go forward with your mind. Well, that stopped working for me. And now I have to listen to my body and ignore what my mind says much of the time. So that's been a real learning experience for me. I have good days. I have rough days. And this is a rough day that I'm having physically right now. I'm on top of my bed, wrapped up in a blanket, and my legs are real shaky. But I've got a wheelchair right next to my bed, so if I need to get into the rest of the apartment, I can just roll over and get into it. And that is probably how I'm going to be making my dinner tonight. I do have a caregiver, which has been very, very helpful to me. But going through the social services system is not for the faint of heart. I've done it in 2 states, and it's not easy. 3 states, and it's not easy. But I am set up with benefits right now. And it's been a lot of hard work, and it's been a lot of frustration, but I couldn't do it. I have to have help. I don't ask my family, because they have shown to me that they really don't want to be imposed upon. So if they volunteer something, yes, I will accept it, but I don't go asking them for things. And I felt very sorry for myself when that first happened. But I think sometimes I'm much better off not including them. So that's all that I've got. And I don't know if any of that was able to be of use to anybody else. But I'm very, very grateful for this fellowship and for this program of recovery, for our tools, and for my higher power, who, you know, without whom I probably wouldn't have the breath of life. So that's it. I'm done.
Thank you, Loretta. And our next speaker is Paula. Paula, are you there?
Hi, Suzanne. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Paula, could you work? Yes. If you just make sure you speak up, okay? Please work your time out with Ginger. Thank you, Paula.
Okay, Ginger, I was wanting the same thing that Loretta did, 5-5 and 1.
Okay, thank you, Paula.
Thanks, Ginger. Hi, guys. I'm Paula, very, very definitely compulsive eater. By the grace of God, my abstinence date is March 10th of 2010. I'm maintaining about an 80-pound weight release, and I'm a full-service sponsor. And I have Parkinson's and bipolar disorder. And my last therapist said that it's literally a full-time job to manage my moods. And so I have to work on my moods, and I find that as long as I can stay out of depression or resentment, I'm less likely to overeat. And managing my moods has helped me in my program. And the Parkinson's illness, I got diagnosed 11 years ago. I'm 62, so I was 51 when I got diagnosed. And I came into OA Hell, which is most of what we have here in the Houston area, and lost my weight in that program. And I was in that program for about 2 years before I came into C Hell. And I I'm nervous, excuse me. Anyway, I was working with one sponsor who was, people said they liked her because she's so honest with her feedback. And I mean, I liked it, but I was intimidated by her, but yet I knew that she was right because she's got over 20 years of abstinence. And when I was going through my Parkinson's diagnosis, I was getting real into self-pity, and I wouldn't answer the questions. She was having me do a question a day in the OAHOW program, which is not normally required, but she would have me do that. I kept thinking she was being too hard on me because she was making me answer a question a day. And then when I got through my Parkinson's diagnosis, I didn't want to answer the question. I just wanted to complain and whine about it, you know, about the fact that I had Parkinson's. And I mean, it was very upsetting. And then she finally said to me, I hate to tell you this, but the solution is in answering the questions. And it made me so mad. I wanted to reach through the phone lines and choke her. I mean, I didn't want to hear that. But it forced me to live a day at a time and to make the most of each day. And then I realized I was feeling better too because I was making the most out of each day and enjoying the day more so. And so I thanked her for that, you know, for her not letting me stay in self-pity. And she told me that she only gives a sponsee 3 days to stay in self-pity. And I was really glad that she, you know, did that for me. And then what was really neat, too, even though my troubles were really bad, they were, I weigh about 118, 119. I had gotten down to about 112 pounds just simply because my tremors were so bad that I was burning up calories from shaking so much. And I couldn't eat with my right hand because I am right-handed. My tremors were mostly on my right side. And it was really bad. But what was really neat, though, is I had the brain surgery for Parkinson's. It's called deep brain stimulation. And I have a couple of electrodes up in my brain. And I have a wire inside me that goes down right above my chest. And I have a battery there. And I charge my battery every morning. It takes about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. It's longer than other people, because I have, my settings are really high. But what's really neat, though, is once I'm done charging my battery, I'm good for the day, and I don't shake anymore. And so it's just been a God deal. And the only thing that was bad about it was my head shaved, because I'm vain. You know, I didn't want to have to get my head shaved. And my son got his head shaved, too, the night before I had my surgery, in support of me, which I thought was really neat.
Paula, you have 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you, Ginger. And I was also really angry about the Parkinson's diagnosis at first, and I was wanting to binge, and I told my husband, screw it, I'm going to the store, I'm getting a can of my favorite binge food. And he says, well, you can't. He said, because Chris, which is our son, took his car to go to work with. So God was looking out for me. And I'm really grateful that I wasn't able to go to the store because I don't know if I would have made it back. And anyway, this particular sponsor that I had, and I had one that was really good for me, she told me about the phone bridge for CHAL. And that was the best thing because I don't have to drive into Houston. I was going about 30 to 40 miles into Houston to get to a meeting. I don't have to do that anymore. And the recovery on the phone bridge and the recovery in CHAL is phenomenal. And it's much more serious than what we have here in Houston. And so I'm really grateful for Cheryl and Lucille for helping start the phone bridge. And so I've been in CHOW now for about 8.5 years, and I'm just ever so grateful for it. And when I did my fifth step in this program in CHOW, being bipolar, there's a lot of shame-based behaviors, and it can be really, really embarrassing to, you know, discuss the things that you've done with a sponsor when you're doing your fifth step. But I did find, it was really neat, I found a sponsor in CHOW who was familiar with bipolar disorder because she was a therapist, and her specialty was mental illness. And so she helped me take me through the fifth step in this program, you know, doing the inventory, which is very nurturing and very accepting. And I just felt loved. You know, I felt like, you know, God forgives me and that I'm okay and that I am a child of God. And so I was just really blessed to have her as my sponsor. Unfortunately, though, she has left the program, but I'm real grateful to her, though, for helping me with my inventory. And then my current sponsor, her deceased husband was bipolar, so she's familiar with the bipolar disorder also, and that's very, very helpful. And and then because I'm so open about my bipolar disorder, I want people to know about it, and I want to give people hope that there is recovery, you know, from bipolar disorder, and that it can be dealt with. And anyway, I've had some sponsors refer their sponsees to me who have had mental illness, and I've been like a support to them. I've not been their sponsor, but I've been kind of like an adjunct support to them, in addition to their sponsor. And they've been able to tell me about their paranoia or their anxiety or their depression, and I've been able to help them with it and listen and talk with them about it. And so that's been good for me, and it makes me feel good that people want to talk with me about their mental illness, because it can be embarrassing. And the stigma against mental illness today is a whole lot less than it used to be a long time ago, but there's still a stigma in some ways for people that don't understand it. And what I have found too that's really neat is when the people that I would help her with her paranoia, now she helps me when I'm squirrely. I can call her and she's able to help me. And she's just been just a wonderful support. And I could talk with her just about anything. And
Paul,
I'm really grateful for her.
You have five minutes left.
Okay, and then and then another thing about Parkinson's is that there's a tendency to have poor balance and falling. And I fell 2.5 years ago. All of a sudden, my feet came out from underneath me, and they were just jerking around on the floor in the kitchen, which is ceramic tile. And I fell on my shoulder and broke my shoulder, my left shoulder, thank God, not my right, because I am right-handed. And I had to depend on the support of my family, my husband and my son. And ever since then, that was 2.5 years ago, my son helps me with my meals. And he helps me make my lunch and my dinner. And he's very, very helpful to me. And he's not even my real son. Technically, he's my stepson. And and I help take care of him too. And he's bipolar also, but he's also intellectually disabled. Technically, he's fetal alcohol syndrome. His biological mother unfortunately drank while she was pregnant with him, but she had the alcohol and drug addiction really bad and didn't even live until her 43rd birthday. So she had it really bad. And but my son, he calls me Mom, which is so neat. He helps me with my meals, and we also listen to the new meeting while we're doing that. Well, it's the 1 p.m. meeting, rather. And he says that it helps him, to listen to them. And he's in another 12-step program, and so he's getting exposure to the AA literature while he's helping me make my lunch and my dinner. And we've got it down to a science. We get it done in half an hour. And then my dinner's already made, and it's ready in the fridge. And it's so nice to have him help me out, because he's doing it just because he wants to. And I feel so loved by him, and I really appreciate that he helps take care of me. And they also said at the Houston Parkinson's Society that one of the best things you can do for a chronic illness is to have a loving, supportive community. And I feel that CHOW is that loving, supporting community in my life. And I'm just so grateful to the friends I've made in this program. It's so nice. I've got friends all over the country now, and I have friends that I can talk with about things that upset me if I need to, and I can offer support to them too, you know, to other people that need support. And we run after my lunch, and my son and I, we run errands together. And I a lot of times make at least one outreach call while we're driving around. He does the driving. And so I can't kill him two birds with one stone. I get in at least one outreach call in while we're driving around, rocking out, listening to, you know, my favorite music. And we just have a really good time. And he said that he really enjoys taking care of me. And then I'm a lot of fun.
Paula, we have 1 minute left. 1 minute.
Sure. Anyway, he says that I'm a lot of fun to hang around with and stuff. But what I'm trying to say is, even though I have disabilities, I have God working through people and this program to nurture me through everything that I'm going through. And I just feel so loved in this program, and I'm just so grateful, for CHOW. And I couldn't have done it without this program. My son and my relationship used to be awful about 20 years ago. And back then I was a size 2X, because it was just an awful relationship, and I was eating over it. And now I'm a size 6, and we have a really good relationship, and I just feel really grateful, to God and this program for CHOW. Because even though I lost my weight in another program, it's been through CHOW that I've been able to maintain it. I don't believe I would have been able to maintain my weight loss if it weren't for CHOW. And I just want to thank everybody who's listening, and I just want to give encouragement and hope to people in this program that it is possible to be abstinent and have a disability. That, it is possible to work this program. And thanks for letting me speak, and thank you, Suzanne, for chairing this workshop.
Thank you, Paula, and I'm going to be our last speaker before we open up for questions. And Ginger, could you time me 5:05 and a 1 minute warning?
And then you bet.
Okay. Thank you, Ginger. Well, I want to thank all the panelists up to this point. I guess I'll thank myself as well. I am Suzanne, the Grateful Compulsive Eater, and all of us except two of us have had something to do with the Special Needs Committee at World Service in one fashion or another. And I just want to thank everybody because they've all done a lot of hard work throughout the years. I am Suzanne. I've been absent since April 6, 2003. I've given away 85 pounds. I'm a Food Inventory Step sponsor. And I am sponsored, and I do sponsor. And I kind of like to break this up into what my experience has been and different challenges and then what my solutions have been. I hope I'm successful. So when I came in to see how I had been blind for 5 years and caring for my mother for practically all those 5 years, and I had been in a previous program in another country, and the program is not the mother program or the sister program. It's a completely different program affiliated with AA, so they do have the big book and the steps, and they had a food plan. And so I was looking for a program that had that, the structure and discipline, because I knew, left to my own devices, I'm not going to do that well. So I had 5 years on my own, and someone 12-stepped me into CA House. So I started working the program, and it was a challenge because our literature was not accessible to the blind or dyslexic. And so that was sort of one of my missions, not just my abstinence, but to get that started. So I did not sponsor right away, and I wondered, geez, maybe I'm not capable of sponsoring because no one asked me to sponsor them. And my sponsor reminded me that when the time was right, I'd get a sponsor. And she was right. I got one. And while my mom was alive, I kept a maximum of three, because I knew any more than that would not be good for them, wouldn't be good for me or my mom. And so I sponsored three people. Most of the time two, and then most of the time three, sometimes just two. And those two people are still with me today. So I don't know. What does that say? And my very first sponsor in CA Hell was working, and so she said, you have to call me at 6:15, that's it. Which worked, because I was up most of the night. My mom had a weird sleeping pattern, and so did I. So if I had just gone to sleep, that's too bad. I woke up just to call her, or I stayed awake and called her. But after a few months, she left temporarily program, and I had to get a new sponsor. So my new sponsor, who's been my sponsor ever since, I explained to her that I was caring for my mom, and she wanted me to call her later in the morning. And I said, there might be a time when I'm at a doctor's appointment or my mom is in the middle of transferring or something, and if I didn't call, would she, quote-unquote, fire me? And she said, no. And she said she understood. So God did for me what I couldn't see at the time, that I was going to need that flexibility for me and my mother. I also would tell my sponsee, so this is, you know, kind of like if you're sponsoring someone or you are being sponsored, you know, have the conversation. So when I would take on a sponsee, I would say, if I am in a position where I cannot answer the phone, please do not take it personally. I will call you back. It's not that I don't want to talk to you. Or it's because I can't, because I'm in the middle of doing something. And I made that really clear so no one had any hurt feelings, because a lot of times when we come into program, at least I did, I was sensitive and my feelings got hurt. I thought nobody liked me. I was suffered from that terminal uniqueness, you know, oh, nobody's going to understand me. Nobody's going to accept me. I'm not good enough, all that garbage. So by the time I got the sponsor, I did have that clear idea. So I was fortunate that my sponsor understood and my sponsees, for the most part, understood. So that's important, right? So that's how I did it. Working the program at the time, my mom was able to read at times, so she would read from the big book. My sponsor got a couple of people to do some of the recordings. It took me a long time to finish steps 6 through 12, but I did do them, and I didn't leave because I knew that I needed to stay. And as you know, a couple people on this line know, you know, oxygen mask has to go on first. And, you know, I admit that sometimes I didn't do that because my mother, when she raised me with a many birth defects, didn't always do that for herself, unfortunately. And, you know, later in life, she said to me, don't do what I did because you're here for me, but who's going to be there for you?
Hi, Susie. You have 10 minutes left.
Oh, boy. So, thank you, Ginger. So, you know, I heard that, but it took me a couple of years, maybe longer, to really, really put, you know, put that into work. So what I found useful was my mother had weird sleeping patterns, but usually early in the morning she was not awake. So that meant if I had to get up early to have my me time, that's what I did. I would get up early. I was fortunate that a doctor lived below me, and he left at 5 in the morning, so I could get on my treadmill at 6 in the morning. It didn't bother anybody. I had my exercise because, for me, I have a very bad curvature in my spine, and if I don't keep moving, I can barely move. So I would exercise. I would have my meditation time. I would do my question, and sometimes just sit and be with myself. So, you know, it is important. So I did that. I've had a few surgeries along the way, and I found if I spoke to the nutritionist at the hospital, I'm on a food plan, I have food allergies, this is what I need, they will accommodate you. Sometimes it takes more than once or twice talking about it, but it can happen. I had planned, you know, if you don't plan ahead, you plan to fail, or you fail to plan. So I planned. Okay, this is how I'm going to prepare my food. I had hand surgery, and I used my left hand a lot. I'm ambidextrous, so I cooked a lot of stuff ahead of time. I had a plan for that hand surgery. I was fortunate when I had a really major surgery. A friend of mine who passed away in January took it upon herself to take me home, and so she cared for me. And, you know, thank God for this program, because had I not been working this program, I would have just gone home by myself, and that was not really ideal. It would not have worked out, because I needed a great deal of help. And this program has taught me not only that I need to ask for help and accept it, but I also need to accept help sometimes when it's not even asked for. And that was important for me to remember. I do need to ask, and I need to accept. And, you know, my husband likes to call me Mrs. Independent Blind Woman. But, you know, it's not really true. There are the things I can do by myself, great. But there are a lot of times I need help, and I will ask for it, and I will accept it. So plan ahead. I was able to stay abstinent, work my program, and sponsor through my mom's last illness. And many years ago, when I was first in program, my mother's cardiologist became my cardiologist, and he told me, we had a discussion about how my mom's illness would progress. And, you know, that part doesn't matter so much, but this part does. He said to me, you are fortunate that you have a community of support, and you're going to need that no matter how this plays out. So don't leave that program. You stay. And so my message to everybody is stay and develop that community. I encourage my sponsees to get out of their comfort zone, because I was encouraged to get out of my comfort zone. When I first came in, I really didn't want to do the outreach calls, you know, all that stuff that we go through, but I was encouraged lovingly to do that, because you're investing in yourself. There'll be days you're going to need those outreach calls. And so all through my surgeries, I had support. All throughout my mom's illnesses, I had support. When my mom went and had eye surgery, a friend just said, I'll be there. I didn't even ask her, and I said, really? She said, oh, yeah. That same friend was there when my mom passed away. I did not have to ask her. She was just there. I've had support throughout these years of all my ins and outs, of ups and downs, through my wedding. Yes, I stayed abstinent, preparing for the wedding and during the wedding and after the wedding. Only because I took that time to invest in community. I know sometimes it's hard to get out of yourself. And, you know, that's why we do service, to get out of ourselves. But to put ourselves out there and reach out to people, that's what those outreach calls are for. And I'm very grateful that I was encouraged by several people, nudge, to do that. And it is important. Foambridge, I got a lot of my recovery from. The face-to-face meetings, they would actually elbow you physically or take with their hand, pick up your hand so you had to share. And I'm grateful for those nudges and those hugs that I got at my face-to-face meetings. The other thing is, be realistic. We do need to sponsor in this program, but you have to do like a pros and cons or inventory. What is the reality of your situation? Can you sponsor one person? Can you sponsor three? Sometimes we'll say, I can only sponsor one, and maybe we can sponsor more, but we're like, no, that's the limit. Sometimes
Susie,
that is
you
the
have five minutes left.
Okay, thank you. Sometimes that is the limit, but have a reality check. What are you really capable of doing realistically without spreading yourself too thin? You know, right now I'm fortunate. I don't have children. I have my husband. He likes his own time, so I have time. And I'm fortunate that way. I have time. I can sponsor a few people here and there. I have had many people tell me, I can't work this program. My husband's dying, or my mother's dying, or my daughter's getting married. And I just, this is where I get to share my experience. Because I have, well, I don't have children, but, you know, last year my husband also was sick and had to have emergency surgery. I stayed abstinent, worked my program. And it helped me because I was able to share with people who may have gone through a similar experience, and they were able to understand where I was coming from. it is important to have a clear understanding of your time. If you're going through a challenge, and let's face it, we are all going to go through a challenge, whether it is a physical challenge, an emotional challenge because of someone in your family, or whatever it is, we are going to have those at one time or another. And it's good to plan your time. And many times after a workshop, a lot of people say, oh, do one on time management. And I don't know if that's really appropriate, but many years ago, one of my sponsees shared something, and I share this with some of my sponsees that may need it. And I always say to a sponsee, or at least try to, you may want to think about such and such, instead of saying, you have to, or you need to. You may want to think about this. And to some of my sponsees that are going through a lot, I say, you know, especially if they say, I don't know how to get this all done, and then they go down the list of what they're doing, or if they don't have time to do anything, I suggest a schedule. Because I remember one of my sponsees shared with me that their sponsor did this for them, and it changed their life. And this may or may not work for everybody, but, you know, have a schedule. We plan our food ahead, right? And that is helpful, so we get out of the food and into the rest of the work. Well, the same thing. Plan your week. Certain day you'll do marketing. Certain day you'll do laundry. Certain day, you know, factor in your doctor's appointments or whatever they are. And that can be very, very helpful. That helped me. I was doing that in my head, like, okay. And I had certain days I would go to the market. Someone would take me to the market, and I knew that such and such a day I was going to the market, and so I set aside that time so I didn't overbook. Don't overbook. You know, I knew, even though, as my husband calls me, Mrs. Independent Blind Woman, I knew that I'm not Superwoman. And so I also have learned not to overdo it. I can't stuff 1,000 things in a day. I need to, you know, realistically know what's important and know and put that in a schedule if I have to. And that has helped me. I am fine that I do service, and it's not perfect. But my mom kind of instilled in me, you know, just because something's difficult doesn't mean you can't.
1 minute, Susie.
Oh, boy. Okay, so that's what I do. You know, I find a way to do it. And if I can't do it, I ask for help. And someone may have a different idea on how to get something done. So no matter what your challenge is, an illness, a medical emergency, a husband, wife illness, a significant other, child, whatever it is, the one thing is, remember, we are not alone. We do have a higher power, and we have a program. And there's usually somebody else out there that has gone through or is going through a similar experience. Please don't be afraid to reach out, because that's what works for me. Find a way to work the program. If you have balance problems, and I might go over a minute, Ginger, because I need to share this. My mom had horrible balance problems, and she needed to get weighed every day because she had congestive heart failure. But she couldn't stand on the scale and look down because she'd lose her balance. Well, thankfully, I have a talking weight scale. And so she could get on there, hold on to the counter with one hand, and it would audibly tell her what her weight was. So this is a great tool for those who are blind who have balance problems. And also, I have a talking food scale. It is a bit temperamental, so I do not travel with it because they are expensive. But the one that I have currently, I've had a few years, and I even took it to Las Vegas, and I thought, well, if it gets broken for the workshop we're doing at the convention, it's okay. It's paid its dues. But it came back intact, and I, you know, it talks to me. I can weigh in grams. I can weigh in ounces. I even speak Spanish. So there are those tools. I have a digital recorder, and I have an antiquated cassette recorder. That's how I do my work. I encourage everybody to go to cahow.org, and on the homepage there is a link to accessibility and special needs. There is a document that Special Needs Committee has written about working with others. There's some information there, and there's some contact numbers. And there is some literature that is available in super large print, also in Braille. We also have the first 30-day questions in audio. And if anybody else would like more information, please give me a call. This program is workable. Sometimes we need to adapt. I didn't even touch on medical abstinence. I'll just leave you with this. You don't need to be a medical abstinence sponsor. I don't have one, and my sponsor is the best sponsor in the world. If I had waited to get a blind sponsor, I would still not be abstinent. So you don't even have to have a special need to sponsor someone with a special need or a challenge. All you need is patience, and this program has taught me much patience for myself first, and for my mother, that was a gift, and for my sponsees. So patience and love go a long way. Thank you, everybody, for letting me share. If anybody has any questions about the adaptive equipment, please go to the website, as I said, or feel free to give me a call. The other people will leave their numbers once the recording is stopped. I'm Suzanne E., and my number is 818-208-9171 in Pacific Time. And now we're going to open it up with questions. Does anybody have a question? Would anyone like to share an experience they have sponsoring someone? You can do that as well.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, Compulsive Eater. First, I want to thank everyone who shared their experience, strength, and hope in service to others, and now power greater than ourselves that guides us in servicing others. That, to me, is the strongest component in this program. With the blessed tools we've been given to, for a structured approach in our guidelines, this higher power is, for me, it's the phenomenon of a new life, a new life in abstinence. If I hadn't surrendered and know that, one, I'm a compulsive eater, my life has become unmanageable, and then there before me are the seven tools to help me to adhere to the steps, the 12 steps of our program. It's just incredible. Sponsoring is a gift. It's a guided gift, I believe. You know, we follow our CHOW Forever Abstinent booklet. That's a gift, and I think that's a spiritual gift given to us. So it's all interrelated. And to find the right kind of sponsor. Some are tough as nails, and that doesn't always work with people. Some are gentle and kind, and sometimes the tough ones need tough sponsor, I guess. I just know that coming from a home of hard knocks, that doesn't work for me. I needed something loving, kind, understanding, and somebody that was encouraging. And so those are components that you can't, that's not written in our Forever Abstinent Tools, it's not written, but you know that we have a loving and tolerant God of our understanding, and that is in our big book. And I was so grateful to hear that in everyone's share. everyone share and how they sponsor. And so I want to thank all of you for that wonderful, the wonderful gift that you've given to people. You know, I sponsor and I'm willing to be sponsored. I'm not willing to have certain kinds of sponsors that may not let me get my way or anything like that. No, no, no. But who just don't hear you, see you. It's not all about just what's written in the book and the Forever Abstinent Guidelines. It's also the approach and how we care about people, and that shows to me in people's a way that they sponsor. So I want to thank you. And I'm Elizabeth. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Anyone else with a final question?
Hi, it's Lily Compulsive Eater.
Hi, Lily.
And I've gotten so much out of this. I'm telling you, I'm so glad that I dialed in and and used my two hours for today that I get. But it was really, every single person said something that I could use. There was a nugget in everybody's share that I could use. And I'm going through a difficult time right now myself. I've been on this quest to figure out how to get rid of this eczema. It's finally been diagnosed with a biopsy on the bottom of my feet that at times makes me feel like I'm walking on cut glass. And it's hard because I'm doing everything here. I'm out way out in the boonies, and I'm the go-to person, and it's I have to just go to myself, but at least I have my program support, and it helps so much. Just the guidelines of how to do the program and just staying abstinent. Oh my God, you know. And I heard something in someone's share. You know, I've been thinking I can't exercise the way I like to and I need to, but at least I'm staying abstinent. So there hasn't really been a weight gain. It could have been because I am quite vigorous in my exercise, but because I've been staying abstinent, at least that I'm out of shape. But at least, you know, at least I can still walk and I can see that people are doing this thing with all kinds of challenges, and mine isn't nearly as bad as that. I just would like to get over this and get on with my life, but the beauty of the program is it teaches me the acceptance of the present moment and what's good about it. What is positive about the present moment, rather than going into "woe is me," I'm done for, because that was my go-to before, but not anymore. And I've been in program almost 31 years, and it never changes as long as I work it. The tools and of course working the steps have supported me. They've supported me. I've been able to sponsor. I haven't said, "Oh, gee, I can't sponsor now. I'm not feeling up to it." I just do it, and I'm just grateful that I can do it and have a lot on my plate. And you know, so do we all. So thanks for sharing everything that you all went through, because it helps me know that I'm really not alone. We all have challenges, and I'll pass with that. Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you, Lily. Anyone else with a share or comment before we shut the recording down? One final thought, and then I'm going to turn off the recording. Like with any sponsoring anybody, it's so important we get a speaker meeting in. We need to hear the experience, strength, and hope. A big book meeting. This was what I was taught. A big book meeting, because it is our main textbook, and a 12 and 12. And the rest, if we do more, that's great. But only speaker meetings, we're not going to get the big book, and that is really so important. Very important in my recovery, and I think everyone here, it was important in their recovery. Any final question? If you like the workshop. Oh,
hi, Suzanne.
Oh. Yes. Go ahead.
This is Sheila. I'd just like to make a comment.
Yes, Sheila.
Okay. I just wanted to say that probably been in these rooms since the 70s when it was just OA, and so I've gone through different sponsors, different programs, in the program itself. But anyways, I just wanted to say that how important and I speak for myself, how important it is to me to have the right sponsor. Because you can have different kind of sponsors, and there could be sponsors that turn you on, and there could be sponsors that turn you off. And I just feel that it's so important to have a connection with your sponsor. Because first, as we say, first it's my higher power is God. He's number one. And, you know, and to really, it really can make or break your program. And I'm, like I said, I'm only speaking for myself. But I think that sponsor is, to me, is more than just a sponsor for the food. For me, my sponsor is my friend. She's my therapist. I'm a bunch of things. You know, they keep me on the straight and narrow, you know. But the most important thing is, to me, is she's very kind and she's very understanding. And she helps me to live my life. And I'll say that, my abstinence, yes, definitely. But she helps me to live my life in a good and constructive way, one day at a time. And that is what I'm so grateful for, because that's all I do, this program, one day. That's all I get. So it's connecting with the higher power, and I swing the legs out, take them for another day, and then it's to my sponsor, and then it's working this program that I have a choice every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila, for a wonderful message. If anybody liked this workshop a lot or even a little bit, please remember, send in a donation, a $15 suggested donation, cahealth.org, and then go to meetings and go to PhoneBridge, because we need to keep carrying the message. Higher power travels lightly, so when I travel, my higher power travels with me, and so does the program. And I'm going to, let's close with a serenity prayer. And then after the recording is stopped, we'll share more phone numbers or any available sponsors. Star 6 to unmute. God.
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 Grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom,
know
that all the difference, I will,
your will,
not mine,
be done.
Amen. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Wonderful workshop. Thank you to all the panelists.